For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Yeah, if you don't, yeah, right there would be awesome. Your arm's gonna hurt, I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
All right, you ready?
Yeah. Introduce yourself in the song.
Okay.
Where you're at?
Man, we're Forrest. Just Forrest right now. In Columbus, Mississippi, outside the house show, outside the Harder Road Halloween show. Sitting here talking to Alan in Max's truck bed. This is a brand new one. I don't even have a name for it. Let's call it Alan for now, I think.
Right on.
Yeah. Alan with the light. Okay. Yeah, this is writing about dealing with it.
Push-ups and feel the acorns in my hand. It's nothing in my hand. This feels like nothing. I go stupid and I try less wanting, and then I feel stupid because I still want it. In my prayer, grief feels so unfair. No, I ain't supposed to have it. Crazy how it shakes out and it happens. In your prayer, grief feels so unfair. No, you ain't supposed to have it. Crazy how it shakes out and it happens.
Welcome you.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
To Porch Talk.
Porch Talk.
Welcome you, listener, to the new house, to Columbo, to these crazy punks trying to make a DIY, some kind of a thing. How do you feel about this evening? Forrest, a little bit about yourself before we get going here, man. Who are you?
Man, I'm Forrest. I'm playing a band under my name. From Mississippi. Met up with most of the band. We all went to school together at Delta State and started playing in bands a lot louder than this, a lot younger, a lot rowdier.
in this, and you know, kept on playing together. And throughout the years, we all kind of moved apart. We moved to different parts of Mississippi again, and a couple of us went out of state and back in state. Man, eventually, Starlin, that we all went to school with, got us down to Pensacola. So we're out of Pensacola right now. Cut a record down there. And recording the new one, LP3, down there right now. I got a home studio, and doing that. Starlin is, who plays bass for us, is engineering and producing all that. He did the last album. Jesse, who wound up hopping up and playing the set with us tonight, he did the first album. So
sick.
Yeah, it was a treat having both of them.
I got a video clip I'm gonna share with you in a little
please,
while.
Man. Yeah, show it to me.
Oh, it's
hear it. Or I want to see it, hear it, and see it.
We're all about it. That's a spoiler. But back to what we were doing, dude. Like, go with me here. Is left Starkville, Mississippi, 4:30 from work. Aim the taco straight down 82. Okay. Over here to Colombo.
Yeah.
Oh, we're eastbound.
Yeah.
For the new house.
Yeah.
The new house, dude. What do you make of this?
Man,
Pompeii House.
Pompeii.
You're familiar with this.
Yeah.
You know this.
So yeah, a couple times. First time I came to Columbus. Well, first time I was in high school, seeing an old friend that turns out the Hard Roads also know, but was only here for just half a second. And then the real first time I ever visited, saw X Cult and Hard Road play the Elbow Room downtown, tiny little spot. It was fucking awesome. I don't know. I might have been 21, 22 at the time. And we came down here and saw X-Cult play with Hardle Road, which was just the coolest thing that could be happening. It was a Christmas show. I think it was like December 23rd, like right before, you know, may as well have been Christmas. And did that and came to the show, or they did that. We went to the after party at Pompeii and saw where they were living, giant ass, three ass story, huge ass house in historic Columbus. And that was cool. And then a few months later, they had Knots from Memphis come and play.
Yeah,
who we love, and we were all in Cleveland. You either went to Memphis for shows, or you went to Oxford. You know,
whether
you were playing or going to them. So, Knots being a Memphis band and playing Mississippi it was really special. It is really special.
Pretty pumped.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, that was the first and only technical Pompeii show I went to. But yeah, just the same thing. A lot of. I mean, these guys and a lot of other cohorts, and same kind of thing, like setting up in the dining room, everyone's crowded around the threshold and just doing it up, you know.
Where we go, man, I'm telling you, is I want to share this clip with you. This is from the Eden. I'm not big on this. I don't like taking pictures and things when I'm at shows.
Sure.
But look at that. Listen to that. Well, that was Essence.
Yeah, the second to last, yeah. When You Drive. Yeah, that's on the one we just put out.
What do you make of the sound, dude? I know you kind of summarized it like just... I think you did it well. It was just like moving around and then finally getting together, but like just a part of these different cultures throughout Mississippi and kind of soaking things up.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed, man, because like if I was to pinpoint the sound tonight, it would be hard for me to do, because like between genres, and dude, shout out, everybody brought it tonight. Starlin, yeah. Boy,
we had a multitude.
Stellar.
Four different genres, I would say.
Yeah, you know, dude. I mean, easily. And y'all were,
easily from
Red great Gable show,
Todd,
dude.
To White Hog to us and Auto Rose. You know, you got four distinct acts.
Yeah,
which is the best. That's the best kind of house show, is when everyone sounds different. You don't want to see the same band 3-4 times in a row. But yeah, I don't know. We're all from Mississippi, and we like the Mississippi shit. We like a lot of alt country, you know, which is found itself kind of outside of Mississippi. But like Wilco's first band or whatever,
Uncle Tico, that's right.
You know, you still catch the Mississippi reference with that,
Tico,
and all that. And Starlin, who plays bass, is a big Wilco fan, and I'm kind of a diet Wilco fan. I know the big ones, but whenever people ask us what it is, we say it's kind of like Wilco. It's kind of like Tom Petty. Tom Petty's a big one for all of us.
That's big. You're on the same circles. You're familiar with Spencer Thomas.
Yeah, Spencer's the man.
Same style.
Yeah.
Tom Petty-esque.
Southern Fried, Tom Petty. Yeah. Singer-songwriter at the core, but with some, you know, some roots. A little spit, a little dirt in it and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spencer's fucking awesome. He's out in Athens.
That's right. Left Jackson.
Yeah, he's in a good band we used to play with a lot, Young Valley, in Jackson for a long time.
Yeah, dude, tell me a little bit, I mean, just history, like just getting to know you. I mean, you've been a part of a lot of projects. I mean, you've been kind of roundabout. And we're getting to them. I mean, just a little bit about Water Valley.
Man, I mean, Water Valley's cool. I haven't spent too much time out there. Starlin used to work at Dialback there. Did a lot of records out there, and did a lot of our friends' records out there, including Young Valley. Young Valley recorded in Water Valley.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dialback Studios. Yeah, Starlin was there for a while, and then Starlin moved to Pensacola. And we were all elsewhere. Taylor was in Birmingham, I was in Portland. And when he left Water Valley, we all met up with him, moved in, and got the home studio. But yeah, Water Valley's cool. It's a precious town. But Spencer's band, Young Valley, was out of Jackson. And
there we go.
They're a cool band, man. We used to
try and tie all this all.
Yeah, we played in a band, a heavy band, shoegaze band called Water Spaniel for a while. And Water Spaniel and Young Valley played a couple shows together. And was in the Nemo band for a while.
You messed with Spaceman 3?
Yeah, absolutely. We saw him. Me and Jesse, who was playing on guitar.
That's right.
We saw Spiritualize a few years ago.
No way, dude.
Yeah.
That's my favorite
one. Half his set was Spaceman 3, which was also very cool. But yeah, it was cool. He had
Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt it. Oh, dude, yeah. And so, just back to those shows with Young Valley, like talking about like that shoegazy and kind of that. It's kind of that.
Yeah, we.
Just a way to put it. I don't know.
We did. I mean, we were a totally different sounding band than Young Valley, but when you're in Mississippi, you just play together. On who you know, it's not on what your bands are, you know. I mean, Young Valley's a country band. The band we started playing with them with was Water Spaniel, and that was a country band. I mean, excuse me, that was a shoegaze band.
Yeah.
Young Valley's a country band. Well, we played a couple shows with them. We were real, real loud and heavy, and Young Valley used to get crazy too. I mean, you know, it all kind of meets in the middle. Everyone sees each other, you know, rocking out, and everyone wants to get loud. I mean, it's, you know, so it's a shared nature of being in Mississippi and wanting to rock out together. And so it didn't matter, like, different genres, you know. It was just, we'd all been in the Delta for a long time together. Spencer was in Cleveland for a long time.
Yeah.
I think Spencer was there 2 or 3 years while I was there and then moved to Jackson. But yeah, continued playing with Young Valley for a long time. And the Lovitz are fucking awesome. Zach and Dylan are lovely, incredible guys. I have not seen them in years.
As you moved around, dude, like, I don't know, like Columbus tonight, Oxford Pride Larry's tomorrow, Spirit of the Season. Man, what's it been like just on the road this year for you?
Oh, man, it's been good. We've done a couple new cities with this act. We've played New Orleans before, but this outfit, we had new cities were Tallahassee, New Orleans, Pensacola. I hadn't played before we did this band, so now that we're there, we've been playing it a lot. But we did a little run with our buddy Thomas Dolbaum. Tallahassee, Pensacola, New Orleans. We got New Orleans and Nashville booked. We've been playing the Mississippi circuit a lot. Hattiesburg, Jackson, Oxford. We play Oxford a whole lot.
Starlin.
Yeah.
Hot mustard at your service.
Thank you so much. This is Starlin. Starlin's the one that's been, he does it all. He does the production, the engineering, the bass, and the harmonies. And
what up with it?
It's the whole thing. This is what you get going.
Yeah.
All right.
Dude, you need to pull up a chair, man.
You're broadcasting?
Go get you a chair, man.
Oh, dude,
man.
This would be great.
I'll find something.
Open this thing up.
I'm gonna have a cigarette.
You got another one, man? Again.
I'm trying to find.
I got
one,
dude. I gave you a pack. What'd you do with it?
I handed it back to you.
Yeah, hold on to that thing.
Thank you, man.
It's got some cigarettes in there. It ain't got but like three left, right?
You got two left.
Yeah, that's another pack. I got one in my pocket. Yes, see what
sir.
I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We're having a conversation out here.
Yeah. Man.
What are you making of this experience, like post-COVID? And I haven't even asked you about that. Like, just as a musician, as a creator, as an artist, like before COVID and during COVID, like what about the creative process for you?
Okay, so
big question, I know.
Yeah, so time-wise, the pandemic.
I want to open this up.
Yeah, so a couple years ago. Moved back to Hattiesburg for a second, and my cousins hit me up wanting to go to Portland. I had one cousin already out there. She had a couple of rooms open up. So her brother...
I mean, what was going on out there?
Well, so we were... My cousin, good buddy, creative partner of mine, Pearson Philpott, my dad's brother's son, he and I have always made songs together. And, he was living down in Dallas. I was in Hattiesburg. We were both kind of spinning our wheels. And his
you
sister
could probably sit on this dude if you want to.
His okay. sister hit us up, asking okay. to come out and fill some rooms in her house. So like right before this was summer 2019. So we decided to go out there, drove out there, and got there, and we built a studio in the house, and we're cutting a lot of songs together, as we always do. A lot different from this ship. But,
well, I mean, what's that process like just in the house? What do you mean, like?
We didn't
just
have...
Just through the Scarlett interface like we're doing
yeah,
now?
Yeah,
like,
we had a Scarlett. We had our guitars. I had a real shitty... Well, it wasn't shitty. It was awesome. But it's still out there somewhere. I don't know who has it now. PV rig out there. And we had like a real shitty PV acoustic amp. And just had a couple things. A Scarlett, a couple mics, and acoustic guitar. We had a Chaos pad. It's like a synth drum machine kind of thing, sampler pad. So we were like making beats and singing over that and looping stuff. And he and I are still sitting on like 60 songs. But
where the heck did that come from?
We're the same age. And before we started living in the same places, he and I used to just send poems to each other and send art to each other. And you know, we always knew we were kind of, you know, twin flame, kindred souls. I mean, that's my cousin, you know, and every time we get together, it's just, you know, something comes of it. And I don't know, he's a real creative dude. And eventually he wound up moving to the Delta, living in Hernando with my grandparents, and convinced him to start coming down to Cleveland, where we were, about an hour south of Hernando.
Yeah.
And just started... recording songs together on a laptop, doing a lot of voice.
Is that how it all started?
Not for me. I started playing in bands when I was in high school. One of my buddies, Jesse, he and I were playing in high school, and we were in Water Spaniel together. That was my first college band. So it's a weird connection of timelines, kind of overlaps.
That's where we're getting at now.
My cousin, yeah. So that was all like 2013 to 14. And then my cousin moved into the area 2015, 16. He and I started writing together, and then 2018.
What was y'all talking about?
What's that?
What were you talking about? What were you writing about? Angst. Man,
just the South and spirituality. In almost every project nowadays, the last two, that being the big one, me and my cousin's thing, and this one it's all about making it work. You know, moving, being poor, and you know, living with someone you love, living with someone you don't love, and living with roommates, living without roommates, being lonely, and you know, burning your candle at both ends at parties and shit, and just living in the South, trying to make it work, trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, dude, I think we're getting where it come from right here.
Yeah, and so the last two albums from this outfit have all been that. The new one is even more.
Oh,
than
this
that,
is the one.
Know? The new one is kind of like coming off of, like, okay, we've been moving around a lot, we're poor, blah blah blah, and like, the new album is. More of that, more dealing with it, but more, we've got a band now. We've got it really focused, honed in, so it's going to be a lot more band-centric and a lot more about playing these shows. And
let me ask you this. As a songwriter, like creator, and like different iterations as you've grown and like moved into different bands, like as far as like with your songwriting, maybe it's grown and changed depending on the project, but how do you approach it? Are you writing to a muse, or is this for yourself, or like, are you writing toward an audience? I mean, like, what's the motive?
I mean, so when I was younger, I wanted to write a lot more abstract shit, a lot more stuff with a lot more parts and crazy shit that would scare people off and reel them back in and all that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's fun.
You a fan of Max Bemis?
I know that name.
Say Anything?
Okay. Yeah.
I know them. Well, I mean, with the recording that you did earlier, is what I was going to say is, like, I like Max. I'm a fan of his.
Yeah. I'm all right with that stuff. I was more into the other shit.
What I was going to say was, like, well, familiarity, like, to you and your music is, like, the chord structures and, like, the phrasings.
Yeah.
And, they're unusual chords, but they're a lot of fun to play.
I was in orchestra from 5th to 10th grade doing bass.
You got that light.
And I never, yeah, I do. I was in orchestra from 5th to 10th grade doing bass, but my parents got me.
What do you think about modulation? I mean, I heard it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I think anything to pep it up, you know, finding the texture and the sound and, you know, something to add a little character to it is good. You know, my favorite songs nowadays are oftentimes like ones where, like.
What are you listening to right now?
Okay, I'm listening to this album Dreamin' by the band Friendship that is so fucking good.
Besides it's Queen, really we're good. Both listening to Queen right now.
We're both listening to Queen, you know, and it's good too. It's a nice little Halloween feature.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to that album a lot, Friendship, and I think they're fun. I know the lead singer is like in a writing program in Iowa, that big poetry program. But outside of that, my go-tos are Steely Dan and Sade. I love the two of them. Just listen to them throughout every week, throughout the work day, and I've been listening to a lot of James Taylor. It's a whole lot of James Taylor.
What are your thoughts on give me just a moment. Steve Earle. What are your thoughts on Steve Earle?
The man or Starland dressed as Steve Earle?
The man.
I think the music. He's a ray of light. I mean, it is a fucking shame.
What is my favorite record of his is Transcendental Blues.
It's like Steve Irwin, the Crocodile Hunter?
Steve Earle, not Irwin. Oh, I'm not Irwin. Talking about Sterling right now.
Oh. I thought you were talking Starling, about Steve Irwin. No. I was like, man, Steve Irwin's great.
No,
like,
much. Steve Earle. Texas
I don't know
musician.
Steve Earle, man.
Oh, my God, dude.
I wish I did. I'm sorry.
No, we're good. I was just trying to go out.
Do you not know Steve Earle? Country guy?
Oh, yeah, in the best way. Because, like, I was going back to, like, what you were talking about earlier, like, Wilco and that style.
Yeah.
Where the heck does that come into play? Is that just with age?
As I was saying, like, when I was younger, I wanted to do a lot more abstract shit, a lot more scaring people off and all that. And as I got older, I got really into Fleetwood Mac, and it was just all about writing a hook, writing a good-ass pop sound, writing, you know, being a band. Doing something that's going to lock people in and that people are going to sing forever. And
Chad Kroeger with the hooks.
Dude, come on. Seriously. I mean, How You Remind Me is an incredible song.
Dude, I'm going to say
Rockstar,
this.
Rockstar, dude, I mean, that's one thing that band got right. They got a lot of things right, honestly. I don't even really understand, looking back, like... Why did we hate them? Because How You Remind Me is an incredible song. We were talking about covering that song for this weekend, and we didn't get it together.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's like the older I get, it dawned on me, and like I don't even know why. It was just this generation of just like hating Nickelback, and it's like I don't think it was.
They became the butt of a joke, but dude, all that shit. That song that's coming back around, it's on TikTok right now. But
I think that's what did it.
Dude,
I think
Cold by Crossfade.
Dude,
come on. Cold to you, sorry about all of the lies. Maybe in another.
Is that what you
night.
Were listening to, dude?
That song fucking rocks, dude.
What else was you listening to? Like, dude, okay.
All that shit is amazing.
Out of school, like, talk about family. You got some older siblings? Younger siblings?
I have a younger sister, 7 years, yeah. AG.
Oh, shit, I'm talking about, like, riding around in the car. Let's go to high school then. You just got your license and you're riding around with your buddy. What were y'all jamming? What was you listening to?
Okay. I had a big moment. in high school, senior year of high school, I got my car real late in high school. I got it like halfway through my junior year or something, but had a big moment. One of my first times, like, you know, took a GP or whatever and got in the car and went to go drive around. And, Sad But True by Metallica came on the radio.
Oh, is this radio and, shit?
Dude, yeah. I mean, in terms of what I was actually listening to, right in my senior year, I mean, it was a lot of Frank Ocean going on. This band from New York called Dive, who are still around. Good crowd.
How did you get into that scene? Was it like playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, come on.
What do you think about that?
The first, Tony Hawk, up to Underground 2, those were the soundtracks to my whole life.
Dude, Rise Against?
Rise Against. Dude, that fucking Doors song, Peace Frog.
Oh, yeah.
Motorhead. Dude, 97 Bitter Beings or whatever by CKY.
What the hell's going on around here, dude?
Dude, CKY is incredible. Dude. I mean, all this, but that's, you know, you talk to a guy from anywhere.
What did you make of like the Jackass generation then? Like,
I think it's perfect. I've still haven't seen the new movie, but I mean,
like, as someone who grew up in it, did you find yourself video cameras doing that dumb shit?
We were trying. We definitely tried. So Jackass was, you know...
Do you think the promo they put on front of the video is like, don't do this at home? I don't think it was enough, right?
It wasn't enough. We were all trying it. Dude, we were jumping. We used to have
As good.
We had those black plastic ramps.
Oh, yeah. We thought it was X smart.
Game. Dude, we were jumping each other and shit.
We were on some bullshit.
Yeah, right. Viva La Bam was the one that was on for my
How
age
the fuck
grade.
Is he doing right now?
I think he's... I don't know. I know he's falling on and off the wagon forever. April and Phil, God bless him.
Dude, I'm telling you, dude. He's had a hard, rough go at it.
Yeah.
I was recently at the Singer Theater, and I caught the Steve-O Bucket List Tour.
Yeah.
You a fan of comedy?
Of course, but I heard that... I heard mixed reviews.
Dude, he warned it before he came out that people had passed out.
Yeah.
From the skits.
Yeah.
Now, granted, like, that was the agreement with most comedy shows, and I want to ask you about this, is I like what Jack White, White Stripe, or however you want to put that, iteration.
Sure.
Same with Dave Chappelle. Like, when you go into, let's say you can't control it with a festival, but, like, when you come to the show, put your phone in the bag, don't access the bag till you're gone, you're here for the show.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it was a wild mix going on around here, and everything went awry.
Yeah.
The brain got fried. And we got to get back to... It's the music. It's the after party.
That disco, man.
How we doing over here?
Doing good, man. How are you doing? Doing all right.
I'm trying to remember my train of thought.
And Dave Chappelle and Jack White and comedy.
You're with me. Yeah, you were with me. So I derailed off that to talk about, like, the phones. It shows. You shouldn't do that. You should be in the moment.
I mean, yes, but at the same time, like, I think that's, you know. I've been to a couple shows. Nutrimilk Coachella in Memphis, I know. That was a big, like, no, there were strictly no phones. Like, I remember, like, we all rushed in. They opened the doors. We all rushed in. Someone... Band's coming on stage, haven't even played a song yet. Someone pulls out a phone, and Jeff
gets
up on it. It's like, no, sir. Like, y'all put that away if you want to stay in the show. And, like, so you can be that.
Same way with that Steve-O show, but so, like, he warned it. This is, we're all full circle now. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but, like, exactly where I wanted to get back to is people have fainted. Like, the shit.
Oh, Steve-O.
Dude, like, it was...
Oh, and that's a no-phone thing, yeah.
Yeah, it was half comedy and then half video of, like, stunts that didn't even make it to Jackass. Dude, he got a fucking vasectomy and then rode a horse bare ass.
I don't want to see that. I just don't know what's the point. I mean, Steve-O's great. I heard, frankly, I had a buddy that went when he played the Singer in Hattiesburg, and he was like, his comedy was not that good.
Yeah.
And the stunts were just gross, you know. They weren't like...
I think that's what it is. It's not like you're going out to see...
He pushed it, sure. I mean, yeah, he went the next level, but when you're beyond entertaining and you're just, it's all shock factor, there's a place for that, but I'm not going to go... I'm saying that. If Steve-O came to Pensacola, I'd go see him. I would go see him. But
what do
I just don't get the getting a vasectomy right now. Like, that's, you're just going to damage your shit. Like, don't go do that. Like, come on. Just, like, treat yourself a little better than that, you know?
Yeah.
Get a tonsil out and go sing karaoke or some shit. Fine.
That's some wild shit. Dude, I'm telling you, like, he warned about, like, people had passed out, dude. Like halfway, like, he'd look out in the crowd and he'd point and be like, is that guy okay?
Yeah.
And, dude, like, cell phones, like, it was a whole culture, right? You know, it was the whole jackass culture and, like, you know, the gimmicky fat guy Presley came out and did, like, he opened.
Yeah.
And, yeah, dude, I think it was a good experience. Like, if you're...
I would go.
Yeah.
It's not
jackass culture, right?
Yeah.
Jackass
Jackass and Viva La Bam, that was huge for all of us. We were 9 to 13 years old.
What else was huge?
Man, right in that era?
Think about like waking up early to watch some MTV actually play music.
Videos. Dude, that was, Green Day and Red Hot Chili Peppers were like, you know, being on VH1.
What did you make of the new Chili Pepper album? I thought it was great.
I haven't listened to it.
What the hell is going on?
I thought Stadium Arcadium was fucking awesome. I don't know why.
Oh, you're back in the day.
About that shit. That was the last one I listened to, but the 90s shit is great. You know, they're good. We should not write them off. They're incredible.
There's a different swing for Shantion for Shantioff, say that.
Yes, yeah, and he's back now, right?
Oh, yes, he is, and that's why the new album was the worthy one.
Right.
Rain Dance, Maggie. It was dope. Got a lot of radio play. It does. What do you make of this whole radio scheme?
I mean, we just played the radio last night. I mean, I think it's there, you know? I mean,
I believe it's real, and it's terrestrial.
As a band on the radio, like, I mean, it's...
Ain't that dope?
Yeah, and it's cool. I mean, we're doing... Podcasts wouldn't exist without radio.
What is going on right
here? This is radio. It's different.
Hello to you, Radio Land.
But I'll tell you, I just got one of my old cars fixed back up. That's what I'm driving around right now. Like, it doesn't have any shit. It's got a cassette player, it's got a radio, so...
I'm
a big fan of radio anyway. I like the commercials. I like to hear what's going on.
You fuck with Queens of the Stone Age?
I know them. The other two guys in the band, or a couple of other guys in the band, Starlin and Jesse, are majorly into Queens.
What the hell are you into right now? Ain't that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Man, outside of Dreaming by Friendship, been really into this brand new album.
When we talking about Planes, Waxahachie.
That Planes album.
Wasn't that something?
Waxahachie and what's her name? Jess Williamson?
Dude, I'm going to tell you this.
Planes. Dude, that album is incredible.
Come on with it, dude.
I was raised on...
Say some more.
I was raised on a couple things.
Let's go with it.
James Taylor, Jimmy Buffett, Dan Fogelberg, and the fucking Dixie Chicks, dude. And... There's nothing even really worth saying about the Dixie Chicks other than they're fucking incredible. And this Planes album has so many of those Dixie Chicks melodies. You
spend a lot of time on the water.
Not really close to it. I mean, Hattiesburg, you know, weekend in New Orleans.
Where's the parrot heads coming out here?
My parents are just huge.
I'm just telling you.
Huge parrot heads. And Jimmy Buffett, you know, spent some time at USM in Hattiesburg.
What a dude. So
Hattiesburg just has a huge... They got a big, like, monthly meeting, you know? Monthly... Parrothead meetup sidelines.
I've got a rating system. We call it the Lance Horn. Mm-hmm. What do you make of it? How many Lance Horns would you give that shit?
How many Lance Horns can I give what?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I give what? Parrothead culture?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the max is, dude. I mean, dude, Jimmy Buffett fucking rocks. He is so good. Like, that's just... I was raised on that straight up, like that greatest hits, the yellow cover with the big red font across Jimmy Buffett. And, you know, dude. I mean, as a 5-year-old child, it's like Cheeseburger in Paradise is the coolest song you've ever heard.
My parents.
But then outside of that.
Check this shit out. That same album. Dude, fondest memories with my father, dude. My mom and my older brother would go to Birmingham to see the family.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my dad would go to the river and get some jet skis, and we was on the fucking that Jimmy Buffett album, dude. I'm telling you, like George Strait and all that.
Yes, the
king. I get a little bit older. Do you feel like the whole thing is cyclical with this? What is going on right here?
I mean, what are we talking about? Time in general, the whole thing. Yes,
with it all.
We are. I mean, you know, every few decades, the whole culture thinks we are in the most, you know, leftist, communist...
Where's it going
to
go?
...movement that we could possibly be in. But you look back to the 60s, and before that, you know, you look back to the 20s, like, every few decades, everyone's like, this is... the culture's going crazy. But, I do think there is a cycle, you know. I think we think we're evolving, and we turn out just repeating a lot of the same shit.
It doesn't repeat, it rhymes with history, right?
Right, yeah, okay. And, I like that, I like the theory about the, whatever those two economists were, the 80-year cycle, every 80 years.
Oh, I read that book, that was yep. Yeah, I think they're onto something. I think we're in
But people have sparsed it out even more. People say it's every 40 years, and other people say it's every 20.
Yeah.
And I think it's all true, because it's just, I mean, we are in total occurrence, you know, like we are...
Exciting time to be alive.
Yeah.
And I think it's an exciting time for music. And when I think about, Alabama just for a second. Let's just go to Muscle Shoals in Florence.
Sure.
You think about, you got some John Paul Watts, Brittany Howard with Alabama Shakes, Jason Isbell.
Yeah.
You're talking about Americana classics, and not to mention Fame Studios. And then let's hop over here to Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have, we have the Hill Country Blues. We have
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The Blues, Bentonia Blue Front Cafe, on top of Alabama pouring into Mississippi, you have Black Prairie, Mobile, Alabama. Port music would come up by the train and by the Pain, and it would get to the Black Prairie, and it would migrate over by train and water to the Delta. Everybody would get on their porches. And it would get on up the river a little bit more, and then next thing you know, this thing went to Memphis, and it went to Chicago.
Yeah.
And then it went to the UK, and then the UK started playing with it.
And then gave it back.
Yeah. And then we started, where the hell are we right now with music, in your opinion?
Oh, man.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I think, I was talking about this the other day. It was Starling. We were talking about blues rock, you know. I think...
You need a lighter? You got
to... I'll take another cig, and I'll need your lighter. Yes, sir.
Dude, I gave you the pack.
Yes, sir.
What do you make of this? Is this fun?
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you, Alan.
I'm enjoying myself, dude.
Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for sitting in the dark.
Dude.
Man.
The burner.
I think, the blues is the blues. You know, you can't really fuck with the blues. However, what you can fuck with...
They've always fucked with it.
What you can fuck with is the posterity of the blues.
Okay, I'm listening.
And I just think there's a certain level where you shouldn't... You let the blues be the blues. If you want to be in an original rock band... Use some blues, you know. I mean, we're playing blues chords up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But don't be a blues rock band. Be something greater, because that's the blues birthed. You know, the blues poured out right into the '70s, and in the '70s, I personally think you don't get better songwriting than in the '70s. It's almost like everything that we're doing, back to the Total Recurrence thing, goes back to like all the bands in the 70s were already playing the chord progressions.
I think with the advent of social media, what we have right now, not only are social pockets, they happen in music cities such as Birmingham, but Social media has made it so accessible for people that, like, we have, like, just these pockets all over music. But, like, what is a bigger bubble to me, and, like, what people are beginning to understand, and I believe, like, people like Will Johnson from Centromatic, Austin, Texas, that there's been a lot of...
You're waving? Where are you going?
I'm going to stay with them.
At Toby's?
Yeah.
Who else is going? Hold up. Let me say bye to Toby.
Yeah. We got these bubbles of music.
Yeah.
And Will Johnson, Centromatic, Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. really found something with a DIY house circuit sure. show. And then, I mean, of course, like, it's going to bleed the UK. Like, what do you think? Like, you've got people like YouTube or like followers that are just really into what you're doing somewhere else?
Yeah. I mean, we got our Mississippi crew. A lot of them are in Memphis, a lot are in Jackson. We play with all those guys. And Pensacola, we started playing there a year and a half, 2 years ago. And they've been really cool. They are really cool. Still are, will continue to be, I hope so. And we're staying in the Southeast because that's where we've always booked. And slowly but surely expanding out, you know.
Yeah.
Nashville. Trying to book Athens, Atlanta, something like that.
What's that like? How do you do it?
Man, it's just who you know. It's all based on everybody we met in Mississippi. You know, any band you're gonna meet in Mississippi that plays out of town is trying to hit up somebody else in Mississippi, I feel like, or from Mississippi. So that's all we know, really. I mean, I know people that come to Pensacola and people that have played our house in Cleveland, we had all that, like, keep up with a lot of them too.
So ain't that dope?
If we want to come play their city, we'll go play their city. But, you know, it's all Mississippi-based. And Pensacola being on the panhandle, being, like, the front line, like, being from Hattiesburg, like, Pensacola is where you went on vacation. If you weren't going to New Orleans or Mobile, you're going to Pensacola. And so that, to me, feels like Mississippi. You got a bunch of people that land there that come over, you know, trying to get out of Mississippi but don't want to go too far, you know, into the... But like,
pockets.
You know, south end of Florida, but don't want to go too north, you know, up to the Carolinas or something
it's
like
pockets,
that.
It's pockets, man. I feel like...
The central southeast.
Yeah, it just, and like with the Centromatic, Will Johnson approach is like with the house shows, DIYs, and like what you're talking about, just who you know and get to know, and next thing you know is like you put together this red hot schedule, you know? But it's just building those connections and like, that's one thing, like, we try to do it here on the show is, like, how do we get these circuits? But we don't want, and it won't be allowed. You don't want shit.
No, but, you know, you're not going to know shit until you see shit, you know?
Yeah.
So you may as well go out and do shit. Like,
yeah.
You can't.
You gotta get out there and fail.
Yeah, you gotta go out there. I mean, yes, it is like largely, hugely, 93-97% on who you know.
It's a little notch in the belt, so to speak.
Yeah, it's all about putting notches in the belt, about, you know, playing the towns that you've always been to, and then trying to go out, play a couple new towns. We went with Hardaway and played Biloxi for our first time. They might have played, I know they've played the coast before, I don't know if they played Biloxi, but... That kind of shit, you know. It's a Pensacola band we met. Needed some bands in Biloxi, and we happened to all be playing Pensacola the night before, so.
What do you make of the universe? Like, just think about that.
Oh, man.
Is Harder Road, even the boys in the band.
The greatest rock and roll band coming out of anything around here and beyond? Yes.
Ain't that wild?
We're talking about the universe. I mean, Harder Road's got the universe. You know, they know. I learn every time I hang out with them. Every single fucking time I hang out with them, I learn something new from what they're listening to or what they're doing or, you know, anything. Whether it's about state politics, whether it's about pop culture, like...
Toby and Max Miles, they have their thumb on the heartbeat.
Yeah,
they're on the pulse.
They're keyed in.
They're on the pulse.
Yeah.
That's why I believe in like nights like tonight, like huge success, house show. Booked y'all. Shout out, I mean, to the entire show once again, you know. Mr. Todd, White Hawk.
Yeah.
Dude, Forrest. Oh, Heart of Rogue. I mean, what a show.
Yeah.
What the hell are we doing? And that's the thing about it is like, inclusivity, exclusivity. If you wanted to know, if you knew a punk, you could be here. And I kind of like that DIY. It's kind of like, absolutely. If you know, you know.
You're
in
supposed
know.
To be here, you're going to be here.
Yep.
If you want to be here, you will be here. You know, that's, if you want to come around.
You need a beer?
I will take a beer, yeah.
I'll talk to you
what
too.
Are you, what are you drinking on?
Miller Lite.
Yes, sir.
Fine pisser.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you. The sun comes up. We're just and I'll peel through. But like for the most part, it'd probably be unedited. Like I wouldn't doubt if this wasn't on here. Just cause like
right. Just so long as it, you know, at any time I sound like I'm wasting your time. You know, if you cut that out, I suppose.
What is that?
You know, you say it like.
You're giving me, you dude.
Catch dull moments. Like, all right, well, we'll cut this out. We'll keep this.
We're working it.
Yeah. I was pleased as punch when you asked me to. I didn't know. I thought you just meant somewhere down the road. Let's get together and talk. The fact that you had the equipment, you know, you're down here doing this, like, that's special, man. Like, you know, cheers. Cheers to you. Thanks for having me.
Dude, it's dope. I'll tell you, this podcast, we put out, well, it started with this. We got hooked up with Munson Brothers here in town.
Yeah.
And took it out to these festivals. This is like the culture, and like I think this with music or anything that anybody wants to do, period. I think this is the way. Here's the light. Thank you for taking full advantage of that, by the way.
Thank you. It's been taken. It's always gone now.
Yep. But, man, you got to reach out. Like, if something can help you and you can help it, it's a win-win. And those things are not rare.
Yeah.
They're out there. And, like...
Well, I mean, I think it's rare in the quality of the connection, you know, but not rare in that all you have to do is ask.
Yeah,
know?
That's it.
And that's the thing is a lot of people don't realize they can ask, you know.
Yeah.
I was trying to think today on the way up or on the way down, like, when exactly did we start getting connected with Art Road? And, you know, had been to their shows, they've been to our shows or whatever, but I can't remember, like, the first show we played together or anything like that. I just know all of a sudden we were in the same room together, and it was like, you know, those guys are who I'm wanting to talk to. You know, I think they know a lot, and I don't know, just get to talking a bunch of shit and haven't really, you know, those are the fellas. Like, I'm just pleased every time we are able to link up with the Hardaway. It's like, it's just a special gig. They're a special fucking band. Like,
that's just it. That's like the road of Porch Talk, right? It's like just through connection is like,
yeah, they're just, I mean, on top of just being like a masterclass band, they just know what the fuck they're talking about.
And it's meeting people, you know?
Yeah.
And like just that networking and working, I mean, shit. It's, they don't teach you this shit at schools, but all you gotta do is talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't finish school, but I stayed in Cleveland for another couple of years after that, and it was just, that's what it was just staying in the area, and we had a house that we would have bands at, and, you know, I wasn't going to school for music production anymore, but everybody else was, and we were all playing together, and all of our friends were coming to play, and you just build this network, and the Hard Roads came and played several times, and we all worked at a beer and burger bar for a long time, and book a lot of our bands, and the whole kitchen staff was playing in opening bands for anybody that's coming through and all that. So,
where
yeah,
you,
just staying connected.
Where do you see yourself, Forrest? Like, it's wild. Like, think about you 5 years ago, and then today. It's kind of shocking.
Like, yeah.
You know,
I mean, but what
and
was,
then,
when
and
was
then
five
think
years
about
ago?
Like five.
5 years ago, that seems recent now, but like 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, you know, that was like the true, like when we were all getting started linking up together and shit. And now 5 years ago, I mean, that was 2017. So we were, a lot of them had already left Cleveland and shit. And, I don't know. 5 years ago feels like yesterday. Not to be cliche, but like,
yeah,
it does. Like, that's, we were all still doing the same troop of folks, you know, same people, same bands. Still, we might be in different bands now, but it's the same group of motherfuckers.
Do you still, like, you know? I feel like this is, I think it was said best. I listened to Kanye West and Lex Fridman's podcast.
Okay.
Because I was really wanting to understand Kanye.
Sure.
Because, like...
Yeah, that's all any of us can try and do is try and understand.
Yeah. And...
I mean, granted, there's a lot of shit like, what the fuck? You know, it is, like fucked up, but it's like, what is the angle? Where is he, sometimes Ye comes out and he has a payoff, you know? It's
usually a record.
It's like, what's going to be the payoff? Yeah, but you can't, like, I thought the White Lives Matter thing was like a piece of performance art, you know what I mean? Like,
I thought, just
trying to get the dialogue started.
Turns out
that, on what that meant, on what, why you can wear that, why you can't, blah blah blah.
The same with wearing the red hat,
when
right?
He doubles, triples down on it, and goes into like anti-Semitic shit. It's like that's when you lose everybody. What I mean, what can you do? Then you're only
did he though?
Only
he lost like major advertising, but like okay, he pops back on Instagram today, and like with Elon Musk taking over Twitter, he's gonna be back on. Like, dude, I think that more people, I think it's truth to power. Like, I don't like the way that he said it, and I don't agree with the anti-Semitism. I think he's shining light on something.
I think if he'd been like, there's, you know, an elite class of billionaires, regardless of religion, of who they are.
Yeah, sure.
If you're to be like, there's a ruling class, and they are making everyone's lives miserable. You know, that's shit that the left listens to, you know, that they are, you know, that shit people will tune into. That's the kind of shit that I'll be like, okay,
yeah.
I hear you.
And that's what Lex was fishing for.
But when you skip after that and you go for the, like, straight up, like, religion shit, you know, it's like, what are you doing but being more divisive? Like, you're not going to unify people. I'm talking about anti-Semitism. You're just not. I mean, that's just fucked up, you know. But if he'd said, you know, there's... And, you know, Kanye West is a fucking billionaire. So, like, really, what can you even... If he's going to come out and come out against billionaires, which is, like... I think if you got $1 billion to your name, like, you're not a good person. You know what I mean? So, if he'd done something in that realm... But, no, the fact that he had to go, like, straight for...
He went straight for throat.
Just trying to... Yeah, but just cutting... I just don't get it. I don't... It's fucking racist and weird, and it doesn't make any sense. Like, it just doesn't make sense, the lengths that he's going to.
Are you open to hearing him out for it?
I mean, I think as long as, you know, we're going to hear from him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll wake up on Twitter every single day, and I hear what he's saying. You know, you can't not. But
yeah.
Unless he comes out with like a huge...
What do you think about the whole Parler thing and Elon Musk buying Twitter? What do you make of that shit?
I don't know, man.
The whole thing...
He's a billionaire. Like,
I mean, this whole thing
That's just a whole different part of... I don't... You know, we can't... We're sitting here in a backyard. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what the fuck the billionaires are thinking. Like, he's buying Twitter. So the fuck what? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I love Kanye for being Kanye, for creating... Everything that we know that is like rap and hip hop and pop culture, like rap is the new rock and roll, and like pop is right in there with it. It's all is coming under hip hop production, and Kanye was that. But now I just don't know. Like it's not worth the grief he's trying to put people through. I think it's fucked up. I just think it's fucked up.
I like that.
I will always love Kanye's music, but I just don't. I don't get...
We can separate the art from the artist.
I mean...
Right?
You know... Where does that... I don't even know. Like, sure, but like with someone like Kanye, who is like, I am my music... Like, he doesn't even have to come out and say that. Like, he is...
I don't know, man. It's complicated. It hurts my heart, honestly, because, like, I do... Kanye is
I didn't like his music.
He's the one. I mean, he's the chosen one.
I didn't like his music at first. And I was exposed to Kid Cudi's Man on the Moon.
Exactly.
And then
okay, so you have 808s and Heartbreak. You have Man on the Moon. You have Drake's Thank Me Later.
Yeah, and
all coming
Kanye
out in the same
produced
couple years.
Kanye produced.
Right.
And then
that changed how music sounded forever.
Yeah.
And that's how you know. That's how you can be like, okay, well, Kanye.
He changed the entire game.
He changed it. People
like,
weren't
I wasn't even
over.
In that genre, but he made it. Yeah, he did it.
People weren't singing.
And then
over
I went back
beats.
And looking at his records, like the red one, like, was it
yeah,
my.
Yeah, Beautiful Darkness of Fantasy.
Yeah, that's the one. That's
amazing.
The
amazing album.
Perfection.
Amazing. But.
I would say.
Like, does it warrant this shit? No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter who it is, man. If David Bowie was still alive and he came out saying some shit like that, I'd be like, all right, well, fuck David Bowie, I guess. You know, it's like,
yeah.
As formative and as fucking, like, legendary as you are, you can't, like, just, you cannot do that. Like, it's just not, it's just dark. I don't know, it's hateful. I just don't get it, man. And talk about class. Talk about classism. Talk about the American caste system.
I'm just trying to understand it, you know?
Sure. We all want to understand. I think Kanye fans want to understand.
Yeah, that's where I'm
where
at.
It's what's going to be, what's the
long
game. Because
it was a culture icon, dude.
But, man, yeah, I don't know. I love Kanye. Fuck it. Fuck him. Yeah. He's got to do better.
What do you make of the wild, wild west of your favorite sport? What's burning on your fucking mind?
Man, I am doing really well in fantasy.
Oh, you're an NFL guy?
Yeah, I like the NFL. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. And I love Dak and I love Zeke. But, you know, you can't really fuck with Cooper Rush coming out winning four games in a row. You know, like, I think we got to pay attention to that. And Cooper Rush isn't on my league or anything. I purposely did not put any Cowboys in my league because I'd rather just watch them. But the first two games,
dude.
I don't know. Now I will watch highlights and I'll read updates and shit, but I have not been watching.
Hear me out here.
But my fantasy team's doing all right.
I'm a Roll Tide guy.
Yeah, sure.
Family grew up. We had season tickets at Bryant-Denny. I was basically born and raised in Bryant-Denny.
Yeah.
And I watched Dak Prescott in Starkville. I watched him in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of his. One thing that I will say, and this I think this is the thing to take away from what's going on with Dak and the Dallas Cowboys right now, it's the it's his career.
Yeah.
It's what he's always done.
Yeah.
I'm not being critical toward Dak.
You can be critical toward Dak. I mean, he's not.
No.
He's not. He was real good. Now he's really not.
No, but hear me out. Like, how did he rise to stardom at Mississippi State?
Because he was fucking killer. And then he went to the
he wasn't a starter. He won that position.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the height, Mississippi State's ranked number one. They're going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I was at that game.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, this is the thing about that. Detriment of his career. It always has been. Is when the lights come on, it's the big stage.
Yeah.
Fall short. Now, yeah. Dak is the ideal underdog, and like I think he rises through this, and I think he'll win that starter job back. He had a rough start. He had a rough go this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
With the thumb acting up again.
Yeah.
So,
but we beat him. We got the Lions. You know, I mean, granted, it was the Lions,
but it wasn't. You got a better line? You see what I'm saying? But like, he has this underdog mentality, and I think, like, I believe, like. I think they are my NFL. Don't sleep on the Cowboys. I know everybody says that every fucking season, but like that is my sleeper team. Like, I think like somehow this might be a Dak year, if that makes sense.
I mean, you know,
I'm not a Cowboy fan. I'm a fan of Dak, but like,
do you have an NFL team?
It's Buccaneers.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Fine.
And I mean, Tom Brady on the roster helped a lot.
Sure. Yeah. So you were a pre-Tom Brady fan.
Dude, when I grew up, and ain't this a weird thing about sports? Do you remember, like, on the Xbox or PlayStation or whatever, and, like, you were just scrolling through and, like, just picking the favorite colors?
Yeah.
Dude, do you remember that Warren Sapp and the Tampa Bay Bucks and what that meant then? Dude, I was a sucker.
Nice.
Oh, dude. Yeah. And then I was a Pat fan.
Okay.
Because of Tom Brady.
Yeah. Sure.
And then, like, Tom Brady is that... And I know, like, people are like, fuck this guy. Stereotypical douchebag.
He's too fucking good. Yeah. I hate to be that guy, but he's too fucking good. Yeah. You know?
But he's been getting his ass. Well, Aaron Rodgers, dude. Yeah. Dude, their ass is on the fucking ground this season, buddy.
Yeah. Both of them need to.
Have you been like, I know, like, you're on the road. Like, I recently quit the band that I'm in, but, like, and I've been, like, paying more attention to sports and, like, just.
Yeah.
Especially here in the South, it's like college football means more. It's SEC country.
Yeah.
But like NFL, dude, like this has been one of the greatest college football seasons and NFL season of all time. Remember, like NFL this opening, like the Saints game, it was like all three games at once. It was like double overtimes and like field goal kickers, and nobody was able to hit on shit, and it was like pandemonium. I was like, dude, this culture is raging. It's a comeback, baby. Yeah. Like, I felt a surge in, like, the American spirit was there.
Florida State LSU game, man.
Dude, tell me about it. Come on. Let's go.
That was a rock and roll moment. That was fucking crazy.
So, it has that power, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wielding that shit.
Yeah. That was special. I was sitting there with my stepdad. They fucking set up that field goal. We both said, he's going to miss it. And no, we called it. We said, it's over. He's not going to make it. And he did not. We fucking started screaming. It was so fucking funny.
Dude, tell me. Come on.
Of course not. Of course they're not going to make it. You know, like, you go run it back for 90, you can't make it. There's no way they're going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sick. That was a beautiful moment. I love seeing LSU lose. Enjoy.
Yeah, I'm a... Same.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know if it's the Nick Saban effect. And I have kinfolk who are fans of those Bayou Bengals, but I have a hard time being kind to that.
No.
And I don't know what it means. You know, like, I've been down there, and, like, I've been to Baton Rouge, but I love it. But I just...
Baton Rouge is great as a town.
Yeah.
You might even go so far to say LSU is great as a school.
Yeah.
But it's just something... Never anybody, it doesn't matter what the fuck town is playing against them.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
They do.
Fuck LSU. It's good to watch them lose. Feels healthy. It's good for the soul.
I feel that. Oxford does a good job. Like, anytime Alabama comes to town, it's like a screw Alabama kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Alabama's the enemy.
Tennessee and Alabama. I mean, it's third Saturday of October.
Right.
Tennessee just got them.
Got them.
I mean, what a season, buddy.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
We're in it, man. We're in a good time.
Let me ask you this. Let's wrap this baby up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask five questions.
Okay, come on.
Quick fire.
Okay.
Choo-choo-choo.
Let's do it.
If folks wanted to be engaged with you, is there a website or social media that you are most engaged on?
Yeah. We're on Instagram. We run it through my page. But my page is, you know, we're linked to Spotify. We're on Apple Music and all that. There's a bunch of different musical acts on the streaming services named Forrest. So on streaming stuff, we're under my full name, it's Forrest Philpott. It's my name, Forrest Philpott, Forrest Philpott. But we perform as Forrest. I can't bring myself to play under my full name. I think it's I don't know, something about it trips me up every time. Occasionally our friends will book us under the full name. It's like, all right, fine, sure.
I'm reworking it now. Like, I recently quit a band, and we played our first show, like, porch talk. We throw a porch fest at my house, and we musicians from 2-day event.
Yeah.
And this past time is like my psychedelic rock band. We had our first show, and, like,
what's their name?
Alabama White Trash.
Alabama, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah.
And like I try to share and talk about it on social media, I just get flagged for hate speech. So I was like, we're calling ourselves that.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Yeah. Go with the acronym. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's like, change the name. What the hell are we doing around here?
I don't know. I don't understand that shit. You know, I don't get it. Someone on Twitter the other day was talking about something about if you don't like pickles, or if you like, it said if you eat pickles, you're a maniac or something. And I just texted back, "Fuck you."
Yeah.
And Twitter was like, "You don't," as I said, "people normally don't tweet this." I said, "Tweet it anyway." So, man, they don't eat pickles. Fuck them.
Yeah.
That's from the bottom of my heart, man.
That's real shit.
You don't eat pickles? What's wrong with y'all?
Yeah, what's going on around here?
If you own a pickled cucumber, you're going to eat a pickle something else. And a pickled onion?
You ever had a burger from McDonald's, motherfucker?
Hell yeah. Come on.
You've had a pickle.
That's all ketchup and pickle. Yeah. It's good. What's your second question?
Ain't that wild?
Yes, it is.
Second? What do you make of Columbo?
I like it, man. This is my third long form visit here. Second house show here. And it's just fucking great. I mean, the first time Knotts from Memphis played. Before that, X-Cold played with them at Elbow Room. And now we're here finally playing one of their spaces. And it was cool. It was really, really good.
If you could play...
I like Columbus. I like the hills. I like the historic downtown.
If you could play any venue...
In the world? In the country?
If you could play any venue, where would you play?
Oh, gosh, man.
Give me two. Tozer.
Okay. Let's go. I guess my first was years and years ago in our first college band, we played Gasa Gasa in New Orleans. And Val, a metal band from New Orleans, played the early set before us. And we were waiting around, you know, watching them play. It was fucking awesome. We couldn't believe it. Val was fucking playing the same album as us. And then when they stopped playing and packed up, everybody left. And like 30 minutes later, we went on and played to two people. So I would play Gasa Gasa in New Orleans again. I'd like a rehash on that, a little redo. And then, man, I don't know. I mean, you know, Oxford comes to mind. You know, things like the Lyric come to mind.
Oh, come on.
I can't. I mean, you know, I'd like to play a big place in New Orleans. I'd like to. I've seen a couple of my friends, you know, get up close enough to whatever they're doing. They're playing at the Lyric, but man, I don't know. I just saw a venue. Just saw a show in Georgia, a Variety Playhouse. That would be a cool place, but I don't know, man. I really don't. The places that come to mind are the places I've been to. You know, I can't, you know, I've never been to like Red Rocks or something. I can't really.
That's what I'm saying. Huge shot, that, dog.
You know, there's a really cool place, Wonder Ballroom in Portland. I saw Alex G at and Claro and.
Come on.
Playing that would be real cool. But, yeah, I don't know. A redo on Gasa Gasa would be really my first one. I'd like to play that spot again to some more friends and more family and friends of their friends.
Question three or four? Where are we at?
It's question three.
Question three. What was your favorite part of this interview?
Oh, man. I mean, I really liked the setup. I thought watching you set it up, I was like, okay, like you told me earlier, it's like, I got it all here. We're going to do this afterwards. I was like, all right, sure. Yeah, let's do it. But I mean, sure enough, man, you got it out.
In the dark.
Yeah, the setup was really fun. I thought that was really cool.
It was quite the experience.
I like sitting here talking to you, but the setup was watching it kind of come together. It's like, okay, he's got an extension cord. We're running into the house, and we're gonna talk. That felt special. Feels special.
Oh, that's the way it is. Like, question four is like the power of this, man. It's like this is the second show here at the new house. We have the mm-hmm. Pompeii. Mm-hmm. Here in Columbus, we have Sunstroke House. There's a barn series thing that happens. I mean, there's people just working and trying to do everything that they can do to like actually put up the art.
Yeah.
And then there are in Starkville retreats. there's foundations, and so like I'm saying like this is the move, this is the shift. It's like I'm calling this like cultural thing. It's like I believe more in this DIY, and I believe like more people are gonna be buying this. Mm-hmm. It's like do you see it?
Yeah, of course, man. Of course I see it. Like it's as long as people are here, as long as people are playing in bands, as long as there is the inclination to play other places, you know. I mean, I'm sure we could have found some bar to play in Columbus tonight, but it doesn't matter. Like this is more fun. This house shows are just the best. They are where you really get down.
It's where's the intimacy at, right?
Where's the what?
The intimacy of it.
The intimacy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right here. It's me talking to you. It's you fucking...
That's the house show.
Yeah. That's what it is, man. You gotta be squeezed together. You gotta hear it out. You gotta do it for what it is. I mean, this shit is fucking special. This shit is...
I mean, you see any kind of show in any kind of bar, and, like, you may have some that stick out, but...
It's rare that you're, like, in somebody's space. Like, okay, somebody lives here, and they have opened up this place, and we're here to make that better, hopefully, and meet new people, talk to Alan on his podcast, you know, like, I don't know, that's what a house show is
stupid
this shit. Yeah, it's all stupid. It's fucking awesome.
Last thing out the door.
Yeah, I gotta pee like a racehorse.
Me so. Too.
Yeah.
Real quickly.
What you got?
Tell me about tomorrow.
Tomorrow we are playing at Proud Larry's, one of our favorite venues. That's the spot we've been playing for a long time. Multiple bands, lots of cool stuff. But I think this is our first show playing with Harder Road there. And I mean, it's good. Got good fucking food, got a good stage. The sound guy Blake is incredible. Blake Gardner, he worked with us at Thacker Mountain last night. It's just a good venue. You just get treated right. It's just fun. It's good to be on the square in Oxford, Mississippi, having a good fucking time.
I'll give a little hotty-totty to that.
Yeah, a little hotty-totty, man. Hotty fucking totty. Yeah.
Let's,
Who the hell are we?
Let's get the hell over.
Yeah. Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's get the... What the hell are we doing?
Man, Alan, thank you.
I do. How was that shit?
It was fucking fun. Very, very fucking fun.
Hold on. Step our hood.
Do what you gotta do. Trying to find the mouse.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.